Hello, welcome to your daily briefing. June the 8th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study. We're grateful for the things that you have revealed to us in advance, so that as we see those things that are occurring around us, we will know for sure that this is indeed the fulfillment of your word. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. And we ask that you would continue to walk with us and show us the path to tread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we want to take a look at an article found in the Greenfield Recorder. That would be the Greenfield Recorder. And the title of the article is Mass Killings of Blacks in 1919 Race Riots Remembered. That's the title again. Mass Killings of Blacks in 1919 Race Riots Remembered. Now, I'm sure that you have come across this in some of your news items, but I thought I'd give you a little wider understanding of the implications of all of this. And so the article that I chose to read for you is from the Greenfield Recorder. This article was published on July the 23rd, 2019. And the writer of the article is Jesse Holland. H-O-L-L-A-N-D. Jesse Holland. The title of the article again. Mass Killings of Blacks in 1919 Race Riots Remembered. Here's some of that article. America in the summer of 1919 ran red with blood from racial violence, and yet today, 100 years later, not many people know it even happened. It flowed in small towns like Elaine, Arkansas, in medium-sized places such as Annapolis, Maryland, and Syracuse, New York, and in big cities like Washington and Chicago. Hundreds of African-American men, women, and children were burned alive, shot, hanged, or beaten to death by white mobs. Thousands saw their homes and businesses burned to the ground and were driven out, many never to return. It was branded Red Summer because of the bloodshed and amounted to some of the worst white-on-black violence in U.S. history. Beyond the lives and family fortunes lost, it had far-reaching repercussions, contributing to generations of black distrust of white authority. But it also galvanized blacks to defend themselves and their neighborhoods with fists and guns, reinvigorated civil rights organizations like the NAACP, and led to a new era of activism. It gave rise to courageous reporting by black journalists and influenced the generation of leaders who would take up the fight for racial equality decades later. The people who were the icons of the civil rights movement were raised by the people who survived Red Summer, said a history professor at the University of Minnesota. For all that, there was no national observances marking Red Summer. History textbooks ignore it, and most museums don't acknowledge it. The reason? Red Summer contradicts the post-World War One era notion that America was making the world safe for democracy, historians say. It doesn't fit into the neat stories we tell ourselves, said David Kruger, author of the 1919, The Year of Racial Violence, How African Americans Fought Back. That could change. A monument has been proposed in Arkansas. Several authors have written about the Bloody Summer. A Brooklyn choral group performed Red Summer theme songs like They Lynched Him on a Tree. In March to commemorate the centennial, they did this song over and over again. In the National World War One Museum and Memorial in Kansas City, Matthew and author Cameron McMurtry planned to present some of their findings of July 30th. Researchers believe that in a span of 10 months, more than 250 African Americans were killed in at least 25 riots across the U.S. by white mobs that never faced punishment. Historians John Hope Franklin called it the greatest period of interracial strife the nation has ever witnessed. The bloodshed was the product of a collision of social forces. Black men were returning from World War I, expecting the same rights they had fought and bled for in Europe, and African Americans were moving north to escape the brutal Jim Crow laws of the South. Whites saw blacks as competition for jobs, homes, and political power. Ethnic cleansing was the goal of the white rioters, said William Turtle, a retired professor of American Studies at the University of Kansas and author of Race Riots, Chicago in the Red Summer of 1919. They wanted to kill as many black people as possible and to terrorize the rest until they were willing to leave and live someplace else. The violence didn't start or end in 1919. Some count the era of Red Summer as beginning with the death of more than 24 African Americans in East St. Louis, Illinois, in 1917 and extending through the Rosewood Massacre of 1923, when a black town in Florida was destroyed. All told, at least 1,122 Americans were killed in racial violence over those 6 years. In 1919 alone, violence erupted in such places as New York, Memphis, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, Charleston, South Carolina, Baltimore, New Orleans, Wilmington, Delaware, Omaha, Nebraska, New London, Connecticut, Bexar, Arizona, Longview, Texas, Knoxville, Tennessee, Norfolk, Virginia, and Putnam County in Georgia. In the nation's capital, white mobs, many made up of members of the military, rampaged over the weekend of July 17 through 22nd, beating any black they could find after false rumors of a white woman being assaulted by black men spread. In front of the Riggs Bank, the rioters beat a Negro with clubs and stones wrapped in handkerchiefs. The bleeding figure lay in the street for over 20 minutes before being taken to the hospital. Lloyd M. Abernathy wrote in the Maryland Historical Magazine concerning this occurrence in 1963. He said, since in the failure of the police, the mob became even more contemptuous of authority. Two Negroes were attacked and beaten directly in front of the White House. Carter C. Woodson, the historian who founded Black History Month in 1926, saw the violence up close. They had caught a Negro and deliberately held him as one would a beef for slaughter. And when they had conveniently adjusted him for lynching, they shot him. I heard him groaning in his struggle, and I hurried away as fast as I could without running, expecting any moment to be lynched myself. In Elaine, Arkansas, poor black sharecroppers who had dared to join a union were attacked, and at least 200 African Americans were killed. Ida B. Wells, a pioneering black journalist and one of the few reporters to interview victims, noted a woman named Lula Black was dragged from her farm by a white mob after saying she would join the union. They knocked her down, beat her over the head with their pistols, kicked her all over the body, almost killed her, and then took her to jail. Wells wrote in her report, The Arkansas Race Riot, the same mob went to Frank Hall's house and killed Frank Hall's, a crazy old woman housekeeper, tied her clothes over her head, threw her body in the public road where it lay there exposed till the soldiers came Thursday evening and took it up. Black journalists like Wells played an important role in getting this story out. Black newspapers like the Chicago Defender were instrumental in providing an alternative voice that represented why African Americans desired to be here, deserved equal rights, and were, in some cases, justified in fighting, said Kevin Strait, a curator of the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture. Red Summer also marked a new era of black resistance to white injustice, with African Americans standing up in unprecedented numbers and killing some of their tormentors. Returning black soldiers from World War I led the charge using skills they refined in Europe. The Germans weren't the enemy. The enemy was right here at home, said Harry Wayward in his autobiography. A Black Communist in the Freedom Struggle is the name of that biography. The Life of Harry Wayward. In Washington, Carrie Johnson, 17, became a hero for shooting at white invaders in her neighborhood. She finally shot a white policeman who broke into her second-story bedroom. She claimed self-defense and her manslaughter conviction was overturned. The NAACP gained about 100,000 members that year, said McWhirter, author of Red Summer, The Summer of 1919 and the Awakening of Black America. Soon blacks were going to Congress. They're pressing congressmen and senators to pass anti-lynching legislation. At the same time, they're fighting back in the courts. They're filing lawsuits when people are being mistreated or railroaded. The lessons of Red Summer would reverberate after World War II. Now, this is serious. And I want you to understand that the entire nation ignored all of what was happening here until recently. You find that there are those who went back and did the research and came up with an understanding of exactly what was happening here. Continuing the article, it says this. You have a similar situation where African Americans had done their part to make the world safe for democracy. And black veterans came home, and many of them were alive or had heard the stories of what happened in 1919. And they said, never again. Now that's the end of the article. And of course, that's just one of the articles that we're going to take a look at today. The title of the article is Mass Killings of Blacks in 1919, Race Riots Remembered. It was published on the July the 23rd, 2019. And you'll find the article in the Greenfield Recorder website. Now, there's another article I'd like to share with you today. And this is found in the Zinn Education Project. That's the Zinn, Z-I-N-N. Education Project. The title of that article is Massacres in U.S. History. And this is quite compelling and also revealing. It says here, here's a list of some of the countless massacres in the history of the United States. Most of these massacres were designed to suppress voting rights, land ownership, economic advancement, education, freedom of the press, religion, LGBTQ rights, and or labor rights of African Americans, Latinos, Native Americans, Asians, and immigrants. While often referred to as race riots, there were massacres to maintain white supremacy. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through all of it, but I'm going to try and see how much of this I can cover for you today so you can get a feel for it. Now, we're going to go back in this year by year. Okay? Continuing. One of the best explanations about why it's important for students to learn this history is included in the article by Linda Christensen, Burning Tulsa, The Legacy of Black Dispossession. A tweet thread by historian Stephen West shows how politicians fueled hate crimes during the Reconstruction era, with parallels today. Ursula Wolf Rosa writes about Red Summer in 1919, remembering Red Summer, which textbooks seemed eager to forget. We also offer a list of massacres that includes some same events and massacres in other countries. While this list includes dozens of entries, it is by no means a complete list. So we're going to get started here. We're going to begin on October the 24th and 27th in the year 2017. Hate crimes in Kentucky and Pennsylvania. Two hate crime shootings in 1 week. One of African Americans in Kentucky and the other of Jews in Pittsburgh. June 17, 2015. In Charleston, church massacre. 9 African American churchgoers were gunned down inside a church in an act of white supremacist terrorism. August the 5th, 2012, the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin massacre, a white supremacist, shot and killed six members of the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. May the 13th, 1985, Philadelphia police bomb move. The Philadelphia Police Department dropped a C4 bomb on the home of the MOVE organization, killing 11 people, including 5 children, and wiping out half a city block. And on November the 3rd, 1979, the Greensboro Massacre, where 5 people were killed when the Ku Klux Klan and Nazi fired on an anti-Klan rally in Greensboro, North Carolina. June the 24th, 1973, Upstairs Lounge Massacre, the largest LGBTQ massacre in U.S. history until the Orlando Massacre, occurred on the Upstairs Lounge in New Orleans. February the 8th, 1968, Orangeburg Massacre. 2 years before the Kent State murders, 28 students were injured and 3 were killed in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Most shot in the back by the state police while involved in a peaceful process. May the 30th, 1937. Memorial Day Massacre. On Memorial Day, Chicago Police Department shot and killed 10 unarmed demonstrators in Chicago. March the 21st, 1937. Ponce Massacre. Police shot peaceful protesters, killing 19 and wounding over 200 others in Ponce, Puerto Rico. December the 29th, 1923. Terror attack on African Americans in Catcher, Arkansas. The Catcher race riots began, leading to the creation of another sundown town. January the 1st, 1923. Rosewood Massacre. The Rosewood Massacre was the white supremacist destruction of a black town and the murder of many of its residents. May the 31st, 1921, Tulsa Massacre. In what became known as the Tulsa Massacre, white supremacists destroyed a thriving black community in Oklahoma. This is one of the countless white supremacist massacres in U.S. history. November the 2nd, 1920, the Okie Massacre. More than 50 African Americans killed in the Okie massacres after going to vote in Florida. November the 22nd, 1919. Bogalusa Labor Massacre. The Bogalusa Labor Massacre was an attack on interracial labor solidarity. September the 30th, 1919. The Elaine Massacre. Black farmers were massacred in Elaine, Arkansas for their efforts to fight for better pay and higher cotton prices. A white mob shot at them, and the farmers returned fire in self-defense. Estimates range from 100 to 800 killed, and 67 survivors were indicted for inciting violence. July the 27th, 1919, the Red Summer in Chicago, sparked by a white police officer's refusal to make an arrest in the murder of a black teenager. Chicago's Red Summer violence lasted almost a week. At least 37 people were killed and thousands of black homes were looted and damaged. July 19, 1919. White mobs in uniform attacked African Americans who fought back in Washington, D.C. White mobs indicated that they wanted to inform the media. And of course, they were attacking the African-American communities in Washington, D.C., and African-American soldiers returning from World War I. This was one of the many violent events that summer, and it was distinguished by strong and organized black resistance in white violence. Now, you can see what is happening here, and the dates go all the way back. It goes past 1919 all the way down to 1908. You and I need to understand that these things have been happening for a while. And the question is, do you understand its implication? Not much has changed. Perhaps the violent approach has been somewhat watered down or pushed back, but not much has been changed. The day we stand on the precipice of something far more serious. And almost a warning has been given concerning the direction in which this country is going to go. We must find ourselves rooted and grounded in truth so that we might be able to stand, knowing that the only real protection we will have will be the Word of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to protect. We continue to be able to trust you. We thank you that you have promised to be your guard and guide. And we ask today that you would give us an understanding of our responsibility so that we might stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, June the 8th, 2021.